Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at NewWorldNextWeek.com, high-quality, low-quality audio, video, and all the sources and resources for you to help spread the word about this show, and we appreciate all of those who do, such as ParadigmShift.tv. James, let's get immediately into it this week with story number one that, yet again, as I believe we noted last week, sometimes you have to go to foreign press to learn about your own country. From Russia Today, from RT.com. Goodbye, First Amendment. Trespass bill will make protest illegal. Just when you thought the government couldn't ruin the First Amendment any further, the House of Representatives approved a bill this past Monday that outlaws protests in instances where some government officials are nearby, whether or not you even know it. The U.S. House of Representatives voted 388-3 in favor of H.R. 347 late Monday, a bill which is being dubbed the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act of 2011. In the bill, Congress officially makes it illegal to trespass on the grounds of the White House, which, on the surface, seems not just harmless and necessary, but somewhat shocking that such a rule isn't already in the books. The wording in the bill, however, extends to allow the government to go after much more than tourists that traverse that wrought iron White House fence. Under the act, the government is also given the power to bring charges against Americans engaged in political protest anywhere in the country. Should Obamasiya suspend the right to assemble, Americans might expect another apology to accompany it in the commander-in-chief, in which the commander-in-chief condemns the very act he himself authorizes. But if you disagree with such a decision, however, don't take it to the White House, because, of course, that's included under the act, too. James, some of our relateds speak to what we were just referencing, and we can get one from Paul Joseph Watson. Obama issues policy directive exempting American citizens from indefinite detention. That's right. The robo-signer-in-chief has issued a presidential policy directive that forbids the National Defense Authorization Act from being used against U.S. citizens. And we'll see how that goes, and we provide you with the PDF link for it. And from 10thAmendmentCenter.com, an update on a story we touched on last week, NDAA nullification passes Virginia Senate by a veto-proof 39-1 vote. James, there are our police state USA updates. What do you think?
Well, it just continues to go on and on, and it looks like this is just another cover your posterior type of legislation for things that they're already doing in effect. I mean, we already have the concept of free speech zones and other things that are just so blatantly, ridiculously unconstitutional that really have no power or force of law because they're completely unconstitutional, which automatically nullifies them. But all they have to do is get their jackboots in the jackbooted thugs in the SWAT team uniforms to come get you if you break one of their so-called laws. So it's just more of that kind of cover your posterior action, I think, where they're just making up these laws to do things they're already doing. And people might want to cast their mind back to, I think it was 2007, We Are Change New York had a 9/11 truth action they were doing outside an event that was being attended by Laura Bush and Lynn Cheney and others, and the Secret Service at that one came up to one of the protesters, Gary Tallis, and actually used a girl in a wheelchair, or one of the people there, used a girl in a wheelchair as a battering ram to batter this 9/11 truth activist, and the Secret Service lied on the stand and said, yeah, he was attacking this girl in a wheelchair, and New York Post ran with it. Wow, 9/11 truthers attacking girls in wheelchairs. And then I think it was one of the police officers at the trial admitted, well, actually, no, it's completely made up. The person was actually using the wheelchair to ram this guy. So they already are perfectly fine with lying on the stand and making stuff up and doing whatever they want to try to demonize whoever they want. This is just something that formalizes it. And as that report makes clear, it's anytime Secret Service is involved. So even if it's for a presidential candidate, like Rick Santorum now has Secret Service and things like this, so you can't protest against him, apparently. So it's ridiculous, it's unconstitutional, but it's just another sign of the, as you say, the police state that continues to unfold. And I wish people would wake up to the fact that the police state is already here. This is what a police state is. So for all those people out there who still continue to insist, oh, you guys, it's not a police state yet. Well, I just want to say, when will it come if it's not here already?
Uh-huh. Well, and they won't be able to tell anybody because everybody will already be all swept up from the streets. You know, they came for me and I didn't protest because you get the idea. James, you know, there is the retroactive part of this, but it's also, as we see, kind of setting the stage. It's like, oh, you know, once you guys all have no jobs and no money and nothing real anymore, you might get angry. So it's going to be illegal to even come to, you know, the centers of power to protest, which again is the complete evisceration of the First Amendment, and it's not first by accident. Our second story, however, James, this week will go to 911truthnews.com and get into one of the first juicy bits to trickle out of WikiLeaks' release of 5 million Stratfor emails. And we learn that Imam of the Ground Zero Mosque is an FBI asset. Stratfor emails in the comment form, from Fred Burton, which was Stratfor's vice president of intelligence, noting that the imam of the controversial so-called Ground Zero Mosque is an, quote, FBI operational asset, end quote. Burton, who was formerly a special agent with the U.S. State Department's Diplomatic Security Service and the deputy chief of their counterterrorism division, made the comment on an email chain regarding a New York Observer article untangling the bizarre CIA links to the Ground Zero Mosque. The controversy surrounding the Ground Zero Mosque overwhelmingly dominated the news and discussion surrounding the 9th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Now, James, this is just another of the sort of WikiLeaks event, and we can talk about WikiLeaks or Occupy or Anti-Sec and all of these things and kind of ask, you know, who's pulling the strings of what. But let's tie in one other related sort of 9/11 bit from the Los Angeles Times. Al-Qaeda arrest said to be case of mistaken identity, and that happened here today, Leap Day, February 29th, as I come to you here in the States. A man arrested by authorities Wednesday as an Al-Qaeda mastermind and confidant of Osama bin Laden turned out to just be a one-time militant looking for redemption before he was nabbed in a case of mistaken identity. James, you can take any bit of that you want.
What if I don't want any bit of it?
send it back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, surprise, surprise, the FBI puppeteering one of the imams of the Ground Zero Mosque. I think we all knew, and I did a Sunday update on it at the time, and I think we were all quite well aware that this was a big type of psyop to try to spin things off into a different direction. And as one of the commenters on 9/11 Blogger, I think, very correctly notes on this story, this is another way that, as we've seen time and time and time and time and time and time again, and literally, I mean, dozens and dozens of times over the past 10 years, we've seen the FBI take people, stir them up into a religious frenzy, thinking they're going to do something, feed them fake supplies to build a bomb or whatever, then bust their own informant to make some sort of big story. Ooh, we busted another terrorist. And that's exactly what this type of operation could very easily have turned into if this hadn't been exposed. So you have a FBI-controlled imam in this Ground Zero Mosque, this controversial mosque, stir up some members of the mosque there and get them involved in some plot or to talk about some plot or to say yes when someone talks about some plot or whatever it is they use to set him up and then set him up and bust him and, oh, there you go, more Muslim terrorists. You've got to keep the things like the NDAA coming down the line to keep our eyes on these people. So absolutely just part of that FBI setup that we've seen so many times before. It's not even a joke anymore. So I'm glad that this information is coming out, and I certainly hope people will help to continue to spread it.
And we've seen it here, even in my town of Portland here, with the Christmas tree bomber, you may recall. And James, just another note, and maybe we'll add this into the show notes as a flashback, but that 9th anniversary that they were referring to, of course, you know, was dominated by this Ground Zero Mosque, and it was also the Terry Jones, you know, Quran burning garbage. That was the time that myself and Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org pulled off kind of the PR stunt here in Portland of burning the 9/11 commission report and actually got one of our big local TV stations to come out and cover that. And James, I think it's also kind of come out, or at least questions have been raised even about Terry Jones, the Quran burner, of sort of intelligence connections. So again, surprise, surprise. Our third and final story goes to one of the other sites in my media monarchy kingdom, and it's called cyberspacewar.com. And by the time you guys are watching this, it will already be too late to have stemmed the tide, but it won't be too late for you to still kind of do something about it as the clock counted down on the Google privacy change. So I have a report again on cyberspacewar.com, but let's go a little wider scope from endthelie.com. EU wades into Google privacy row. Google has defied a request from France's regulator to postpone its new privacy terms, which appear to violate EU data protection rules. The U.S. internet giant has fought back, insisting the date is set March 1st. As soon as the search giant announced its new privacy guidelines, the EU's data protection authorities invited an information commission to make a detailed analysis of the proposed policy. Having studied the new terms, the French National Commission for Computing and Freedom, CNIL, concluded that, quote, preliminary findings show that Google's new policy fails to meet the requirements of the European Data Protection Directive regarding the information that must be provided to data subjects, end quote. The commission therefore asked Google to postpone implementing the new policy, forwarding the request to Google's directors, and posting it on its website. The request was welcomed by the EU's Justice Commissioner, who oversees the bloc's data protection rules and who also called on Google to delay its new regulations. So the new rules, coming into effect on March 1st, regulate how the web giant uses the huge volumes of personal data it collects through its search engine, email, and other services. Hello, YouTube. Users' personal data will be gathered and stored in personal profiles for use at Google's discretion. The new policy will allow Google to share the compiled personal information with advertisers. And James, I think, again, just to kind of easily spell it out for folks, I think you can go to google.com/history when you're logged in and hit erase entire web history. Now, whether or not that is also an act of faith probably remains to be seen, but James.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same as deleting your Facebook account, which people who've tried to do that know it doesn't really work the way they say it does. But absolutely, as of March 1st, so by the time you're watching this, anyone who's got a YouTube account or anything like that is signed on to this and is complicit in it. And we've talked about this before. I mean, here we are on GooTube, Google-owned YouTube. And here we are spreading the word and getting the information out and reaching into the matrix to get people out of it. And I know that a vast number of the people who are watching this video right now would not be watching it and would never have encountered this if it wasn't for GooTube. So there is that. But there comes a point at which going along with that system means that you are complicit in it. And I don't know what that point is for me personally. I'm seriously thinking about getting off of YouTube altogether and completely boycotting it. And I don't know whether that's going to be a good thing in the long run or a bad thing. I think it's important to show people that I don't want anything to do with Google and all of the crap that they're doing. And that's why, I mean, I'm always plugging startpage.com and other search engines and things like that. And I don't use Google for anything except for getting the word out on GooTube. But even that is complicity at some point. So. And of course, all the videos are available in other places. We put it up on blip.tv. I've got videos posted on my own servers. You use archive.org. So there are lots of other ways to get this. And I think it's maybe time to start moving off of GooTube altogether. So people in the comments, let us on GooTube, let us know what you think. Should Corbett Report on YouTube completely disappear forever? Give me your thoughts. I truly want to hear them.
And that would be, if we could make that kind of mass exodus move, and whether that meant going to Blip or going to Archive or going to something new or creating our own things, that may really be what needs to happen. James, I'm pretty impressed you've been able to stay that much away. I'm probably in up to my neck as far as running the blogs that I run. Again, those are hosted on Google, but it's been a way to kind of keep it super duper cheap. I buy the .com and just tell it to point to the blogger. But again, I digress. And a lot of these choices we're going to have to make for ourselves. And as we note on a lot of these levels, the revolution begins at home with what you're going to do with yourself and voting with your dollars and with your feet. So James, with that, we will wrap up this 104th episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com and remind folks that we're doing Food World Order updates on Corbett Report Live every Thursday night, right?
Absolutely. Tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. I'll see you then.
All right. Take care.